What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
What up? What up? Hey.
Oh, gosh. So I was going to let on that, you know, we're going to do another short show because Tess still isn't feeling well. But that opening pretty summed it up right there. That was, yeah. It's like that had like, you know, I'm here for just for the check vibes a little bit.
I think the best way to explain me right now is I'm a, you know, that robe that you have, it's somewhere in your house, but it has like holes in it. So you try not to wear it. But then one day you get caught wearing it at the mailbox and your neighbor's like, oh, hey, that's me right now.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, it just explains me right now.
Goodness. So, yeah, because you went back to work, and that was rough. And so now your doctor has told you that you can only work 3 days out of the week.
Yeah.
So you can kind of rest up.
Yeah. It seems that going back to work and trying to be normal, like just trying to do the normal things that I would do, is overstimulating. At least that is the doctor's medical opinion. And I can't do much. Like I shouldn't say I can't do much, but it's just the amount of time that I spend at work on the computer, and or it's not really just the computer, but just interacting with other humans, it's extremely taxing. It's extremely tiring. And, you know, just waking up in the morning, getting ready, doing what I have to do, taking care of my dog, getting myself in a Uber to work or Lyft or whatever, and then doing what I do at work, interacting with people, listening to their concerns, helping people, talking to people, telling everybody where I've been because they're all asking. I had one of the nicest residents give me a dozen roses, like just saying, oh, nice. Welcome back. That was so nice. And just, you know, kind of communicating with everyone, and it's exhausting. And you know, just doing the job, it's exhausting, moving around, walking around, and then getting in the car and coming home and just trying to chill out, eat something, maybe try to watch some TV. By the end of the day, I'm nauseous. If I'm not throwing up, I just feel like crap. And I've got headaches repeatedly. And I'm like, this isn't okay. And it was just going on for a week, like a whole, just feeling like this. And so the doctor's like, no, we got to dial this back. You can't work 5 days straight, even on the right hours. Like, so that's where we're at right now. And yeah, this is one of those things where your brain, I don't know. I mean, I've never had a concussion before, so I've never had a mild traumatic brain injury. I mean, at least that I know. I'm pretty sure that I have, actually, but you know, when you're young and you can run into a tree and then keep going. Yeah, I'm not young anymore. So, anyway.
I mean, that sounds tiring, even without, you know, a head injury. Like, you know, we talk about having to, you know, talk to people and have them tell you their problems, and you have to try to help them solve it all day. Is that's tiring. That's tiring, even, you know, for regular, everyday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so to have an injury that kind of limits you in terms of communication and, you know, the time that you can spend behind a computer and things of that nature. Yeah, that's rough. So it would make sense to kind of cut back a little bit until you're 100%, you know, you're back to 100%. So I'm glad, and you know, hopefully that'll work out in a way that, you know, you're still able to make ends meet even though you're going to be off more than you're working. But you know, I am happy that, you know, the doctor was like, go ahead and chill.
The doctors have been supportive in this because I feel like this doesn't happen very often. And I'm the type of person who goes to work with like bleeding, like a limb hanging off by a tendon. Like,
that's yeah, your me. Cousin too. Yeah.
Yes, we were raised this way.
I'm just saying, you know, our African mothers. And I mean,
hey, mommy, I have a fever of 104. I don't think I should go to school. Eh, it's not 109. You can go. if you're not bleeding from every part of your body and you can formulate a sentence, you're going to school. So I was definitely raised that way. And I know that I've pushed myself and I'm like, I need to do this, but this is one of those first times where this is an injury that I've not had. I've broken bones, I have sprained stuff, I've had other issues, but I've never had, you know, just my brain not function to the point where I can't walk down the hallway without bumping into something, or I can't finish a sentence. And so I was very scared to leave my house and to go to work. So I'm proud of myself that I went and I tried. And it's probably better for me to kind of just get some more, get just, I don't know. I stay off my phone. Scrolling is not healthy. It really messes with your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that you don't even think about because you do it all the time, you know, on Twitter or Instagram or whatever the case. You're just, you know, flipping through your phone. And it's, while it's something we probably shouldn't be doing anyways, is you take it for granted, you know, how it affects you. Because that's actually been happening with me a little bit in terms of doing a lot of written work. And
yeah,
when I do my like drawings and stuff, it's all digital. And so I'm in front of a screen for most of the day. And I started to have, outside of migraines, I started to have like, you know how you, like if you look at a bright light and you close your eyes, you get those little bright spots or whatever. Well, that was happening, but it wouldn't go away. Like even when I opened my eyes, they would stay.
Yeah.
And so I had to borrow some gunners and like, you know, they help block the blue light and just kind of wear them for a while so that can stop. But yeah, it's that and lack of sleep. That and lack of sleep will definitely screw you up. So don't be like me. Don't be like me. Get some sleep.
Get some sleep.
Definitely.
Get some sleep.
But beyond that though, we did want to talk a little bit about, you know, stuff that we've been watching, you know, barely in Test Case, but I did watch a couple cool things. I watched it's new to me, but not new. I think it came out last year, or either early this year, a horror film called Sweetheart, which has like a castaway, castaway creature type vibe, and it's really well done, but it's the cast is all of like I think three or four people, and most of the time you're spent with just one person, and they're on an island. I don't want to give too much away, but like they're on an island and after like some type of shipwreck or whatever, and they have to kind of deal with all the stuff that you would, you know, normally deal with, but then at night a monster comes onto the beach. And so they have to kind of survive each night. And yeah, I was intrigued by like the reviews and what they were talking about, like in terms of how it was portraying the main character and how the creature effects were really, really good. They weren't CGI and, you know, things like that. But I was also interested because it was a black woman was the lead. She's the lead.
Oh, cool.
You can actually find it on.
Does she die though?
I don't want to spoil the movie. I don't, but black people will be happy. I'll say that. Okay. but I can't pronounce her first name. I think it's Kiersey Clemons. I think that's how you say her name. She's been in a ton of different movies. Neighbors 2. She was in Dope. She was the.
I love Dope.
She was Cassandra or Diggy in Dope. If anybody saw
Diggy?
Dope, yeah.
Okay.
It came out in 2019. There you go, 2019. So she did really well. She did really well, and it's a good film. So if you're a horror fan and you're looking for something a little different, definitely go check that out. I bought it on Vudu. I think it's on sale right now because like the holiday stuff is still going on. So definitely check that movie out. That was one thing that I saw. Okay. There's just cool. so much content between Netflix, HBO, and a bunch of other places that yeah. it's hard to keep up with everything. But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. Also, I watched, and this is actually the main topic of our show, mm-hmm. I watched the Dynasty Warriors film on Netflix.
Yep.
Now, I looked at the reviews, and the reviews are bad. There was a couple positive ones, but most of it, I think it has like a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
29.
Yeah, right? So I was like, ooh. But then again, I was like, this is a movie about Dynasty Warriors. And I'm not a huge fan of Dynasty Warriors. I like playing them, but at the same time, they're not a game that I would like hold up as like a lofty thing to yeah. play or experience, right? So I didn't expect much. And then also video game movies tend to suck. So yeah. that being said,
yeah, oh, go ahead. Anything to go on, like we literally just watched Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
And that was what, 0%? I mean, no, I don't even know what the rating was. I don't remember. We did talk
surprisingly
about
it was better.
Ago.
Yeah, surprisingly the rating was better, but I thought it was hot ass, but that's just me.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible, and the best thing was the reviews when they kept calling what's his face Under Armour.
Right.
That horrible shirt. So I'm not mad at this movie if we base it off of the fact that video game movies are trash. And honestly, I was watching it and I was like, this is so dumb, but it was dumb in a way that I was still entertained, I wasn't entertained in a way where like, I need to see this. I could watch this movie without the subtitles because you don't need to know what's being said.
It's a lot though. It's a lot. And that's actually one of my complaints was that there was so much exposition, but I guess I get it though, because it's based on, what is it, the Three Kingdoms story?
So the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, which mind right. you is very, very good set of books. It's I guess you call it one book, but it's in four parts.
Right.
And I read it years ago. I enjoyed it very much. I think I love the first one. Like the first set is my favorite. I can't remember, but I think by the time you get to the fourth one, you're kind of like, is this over yet? just kind of waiting. But you know, Dynasty Warriors kind of glosses through the book because it misses the game, the video game misses a bunch of details about the characters. Like,
right.
I shouldn't say details, I should say things that happen in their lives, because the video game is about fighting. It's not about learning information, for real, for real. The only thing you need in the video game is to know who you're about to fight. You don't necessarily always know why. And cutscenes are really a time for people to go and get water and pee. So, I mean, not everybody watches cutscenes. you don't always learn. And mind you, anybody who is super familiar with Dynasty Warriors, like really, really plays, knows that there's a glossary in the game. And if you have an extra 5 hours of your life to spend, which you probably should if you've wasted time playing the dumb game, you can go read the glossary and you'll learn a lot about these individual people. And sometimes you even learn stuff like they even tell you something and you're like, oh, this person probably shouldn't have been a playable character. They were only somebody's wife for 3 years before they committed suicide by walking into a river and drowning. Like something stupid like that. But they were a playable character, you know, for gender reasons and to make us happy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. And they do have, like, lore and stuff that you can look into when you play the yeah. games. But for the most part, you're beating thousands of soldiers.
Yeah.
Moving to another place, beating a... Until a general pops up and then you beat that person. Then it moves yeah. You know, you have, like, objectives to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so the movie does that. It does give you a little bit more backstory, but similar to the game, it starts you in the middle of a conflict already.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, speeds by that way. And there's a lot of exposition on who these characters are and why they're fighting. And for the most part, you're kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, wait, who's that? Oh, and you're over there. Okay. And it moves yeah. kind of quickly. And then there's all this mysticism and it's done in a way that they expect you to kind of already know a little yeah. bit of what's going on. So they don't really... Outside of like hard facts on what's currently happening, they don't really hold your hand on anybody else. It's like, this guy's a warrior. That's all you need to know. Fight.
Right.
But within doing that, it's actually, they actually do a decent, you know, wushu film. It's no Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, no, or House of the Flying Daggers or anything like that. But yeah, it's also not that bad for what they're, what they were presenting. For me, I'm looking at like, what is your goal? And is your goal a lofty one? In terms of my review, if I were to review this film, and then also, you know, things like acting and, you know, plot, like how the plot carries on and all that other yeah stuff. But at the same time, you don't necessarily review a comedy that's all over the place the same way you would review a drama. Some yeah instances, yeah, but you kind of let things slide. In this case, with the wushu film, not that they're, like I said, not that they're bad. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is amazing. But
yeah,
there's things that you kind of let go. It was long, but it was good, though. and Hero, like movies like that, like you kind of, there's certain things that you kind of let go. Like there's going to be wire foo, like people like, you know, flying through the air and basically uh-huh doing things that they can't physically do in real life. Uh-huh. And the
what
idea is,
wait, what? They can't physically do them in real life? Now you're telling lies.
I tried that once and it didn't go well. It just did well, not.
That's because you didn't learn from Ip Man.
No, I, you know what? You're right. You're right. He was busy that day.
He was busy. You should have called him, but
yeah, it's all good though. You know, my hip is better now. I can, there's no more clicking when I walk. It's just, oh, it doesn't do it anymore.
Okay.
So,
well, that's
good. But, but no, like, you kind of like, the idea is to be, at least for a lot of the films that I like, is to be more, almost like a play, like more graceful, less like, you know, brutal and you would think like American action. It's less of that, right? So it's a lot of floaty, a lot of, you know, magical whatnot. It's fantasy.
Yeah.
And it works for the yeah setting, for what they're trying to do. It works for the most part. There is some stiff acting. There is some bad plot stuff. One of the characters, she just shows up to be a love interest. And I'm not going to, just warning you now, I'm not going to pronounce any of these names properly. Dao Chun. Yes. She just shows up for like briefly. And like Lou, like stabs himself, to like prove his worth, I guess. And I'm like, is that, that's what they doing? That's what's hot in the streets. You just stab yourself and you get the numbers, that you get the digits. That's what we do.
That's
like
what people need to be doing. Otherwise these dudes out here are not going to get nothing from us no more. Like we're not playing no more. So you need to show me you're down by mutilating yourself. If you don't show me some blood on day one, then nah.
That is, wow. So I am glad I'm married. Just want to throw that
right
out there.
Because it's rough out here in these streets.
Facts. I am not cutting myself for anyone. Like, no. Mm-mm. Not happening. But anyways, yeah. So there's some weirdness there. Like a lot of the female protagonists. And granted, I'm not sure if they were like really big in the books anyways. But if you played the games, there were a few female characters that would be cool to show up, you know, in the film.
They had to.
But it was kind of like, eh, here you go. And then we're going to move back on to the rest of the story. So that was weird. But aside from that, it's not bad. It's really not. It's a popcorn film, but it's in, you know, on the wushu side, you know, the wushu genre. Not bad.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. I mean, I was able to continue watching it for a couple of reasons. But one reason, obviously, we're going to talk about it. So it's part of my assignment. The other reason I was able to continue watching it is because partway through the beginning, I was probably about 30 minutes in, and eating some French toast sticks, which was helping, I guess, keep my blood sugar up because the headache was coming on. I realized it's very much early in the beginning, but I was like, I watched it on Netflix and the language, the speaking wasn't lining up, and I'm like, why are they using voiceovers? Like, what the heck is really going on here? Something's not right. And I had to change the language because it's in Cantonese,
right?
And I'm like, this is not right. I was like, something's not right here. I was like, because I didn't learn Cantonese, I learned Mandarin. So I'm like, this is in Cantonese, and their mouths are moving differently. So Netflix has it on Cantonese in the original. So I turned it to Mandarin just to check, to make sure that the words were lining up, and they did. And I'm sitting here like, so wait a minute, Netflix made a mistake? No, it's literally in Mandarin.
Well, they do say, So you changed it to Cantonese and then they were speaking in Mandarin?
No, I changed it to Mandarin because Mandarin was right. Like,
oh, so
the Cantonese is a voiceover.
Oh, see, it said original. I wasn't sure.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It didn't sound right. And I was like, and I'm sitting here because I'm listening to the names and I'm sitting here like, yeah, I'm not sitting here trying to tell y'all that I speak Mandarin fluently because I don't. Like, throw some sentences at me and I'm going to look at you like you're the one who's stupid and it's really me. But it wasn't right. So I changed it to Mandarin and I'm like, yep. Yeah, this is what it is. It's supposed to be in this. And the names were right and everything. Because, like, if you read the book, then you know that Liu Bei has two names. He goes by Liu Xuanda as well. And you know that Cao Cao has another name. He goes by Cao Mengde.
They had that in the film. Yep.
Yeah, and you, when it's in Mandarin, it comes out right. It's at least from my experience. Now again, my brain is broken, so I could be taking this all wrong, and I could just be wrong. But I'm sitting here watching Cao Cao speak, and I'm like, dude. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, maybe the characters, depending on where they were, like the location, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
wherever they were speaking. And if that's the case, because again, I don't know, but if that was the case, then like buku to the directors and in the film, the runners and everything, making people speak provincial language. It's like, you know? And then just having translations on the screen, but that's not the case because there are people all over China who don't speak, you know, something else.
Right.
Like, I literally have friends who speak Cantonese and do not speak a lick of Mandarin. And so, you know, you got to put subtitles in there. So I don't think that's the case. I do think the movie was filmed in Mandarin and they just tried to fool us with the Cantonese voiceover and I was upset. And they thought we weren't hip. So that's one thing.
See, I thought I was doing something by switching it to, from the American voiceover over to Cantonese. I was like, I can't do it with this bad voiceover. I can't do it.
Did you notice it wasn't lining up?
It
wasn't.
There is some places it did look a little off, but I was also watching on my phone in between doing stuff. Yeah. So it slipped by me. There were certain parts when they were saying like people's names and such where I'm like, I don't think he said it that way. But then also Netflix is notorious for not having the right translations, maybe transliteration. Like they don't do it justice all the time. Like someone says bye and the translation that Netflix has is like, see you later. It's like, no, he said bye. Like you that's wrong. Shoot, man, Netflix has like the off like bad descriptions half the time. So I don't blame, you know. But then again, this is also being streamed on other platforms like throughout the country. I know Netflix has it for, you know, North America and whatnot, but it's on other platforms. So maybe it's a little different. I don't know. You know, it could be that they, you know, they did a copy and paste. But I know Netflix has in the past where like I've owned a film and, you know, read the subtitles and then watched it on Netflix and was like, oh, this is totally different.
I think that's actually Hero.
Oh, Hero?
I swear that Hero, because I got the region code, you know, I got the Hero, the Chinese version, right? Mm-hmm. When that was released. And anyway, let's not talk about my legal dealings. And then when the American version came out, I watched it and I was like, wait, is this different? Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, and to be fair, transcribing is difficult in this sense where you're trying to, because sometimes they'll have like sayings or slang or ways of speaking that don't 100% translate. And so you kind of have to do it in a way that people can understand, but then still kind of mimic their mouth movements. And mm-hmm. so that can be very tricky. And, but at the same time, you want to get it, you know, be as accurate as possible to what's actually being said. So I totally understand that. But yeah, back to what you were saying. So languages was off a little bit, and like there was some stiff acting for me, especially with was it Lu, the main antagonist?
Lubo.
Yeah, Lubo.
Libu.
Yeah, he was very stiff and very like. If I could compare him to like a voice, I would say he was monotone. Like he wasn't, there was very little emotion outside of scowling and like
he
just
was miscast. I just feel like he was miscast because like, you know, everybody who's played the video games knows that they straight up took this is a Koei Tecmo game. It's in the credits. I mean, movie, Koei Tecmo movie. It's in the credits. Like they used all of music, all the original music from Dynasty Warriors. So all of the character designs, all of the people that they have playing these characters are based directly off of what's in the game. So why did they choose this guy? You guys couldn't have found a bigger menacing man to out of all of the millions of Chinese actors out there. Okay. And he didn't even say anything. So he could have been anything. He could have been any. He didn't even need to be Chinese. He could have been anything. He could have been American and nobody would have cared. You could have been anything. Anything. They could have gotten the tallest Maasai warrior out of Africa and cast him in that. As long as he was big and menacing, nobody would have said shit because he didn't talk.
Yeah, he has like two, which is kind of ironic because he only has two lines in the film. So similarly, in the game, he doesn't really talk as much. But yeah, it was, and I can't say in terms of like, I guess like visually it was okay. Like when I first saw him, I was like, okay, I know who this character is because you know who everyone is based on what they're wearing or what their weapons are. So I kind of like, all right, maybe this is a, you know, Hugh Jackman type thing where he like they announced him as Wolverine and you're like, that is not Wolverine, but then you see him in the movie, you're like, oh, that's Wolverine, right.
That's definitely so, Wolverine.
Right, so I'm like, maybe it's along those lines. And
in terms of
like swinging a weapon, he looked cool, but everything else, it just felt like this guy was, I don't want to say like he didn't want to be there, but it felt like he didn't want, comparatively to the, some of the other characters who were really leaning into the over the topness of their characters.
He was actually the guy who works at the studio and lets people into like these really cool places. And the guy who was supposed to play Libu just got sick. And
they were terrible.
Like, yo, you fit the part. So, and he's like, huh? So he was just out of sorts the whole way. He had no idea what was happening. And I'm sorry. Like, this movie was 2 hours and.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's supposed to be 7 more because there's no way they can finish the rest of the game and the rest of the books in just one more movie or whatever. But this movie literally took, like, you only get to Hulao Gate. That's not half the game. Okay.
Yeah, not at all.
You don't get to know, like, at least in this game, in the movie, they're showing you that, you know, when he's talking to Dao Jian, like, you should, I mean, people, you should start to understand really what's going on there and what's going to really happen between him and Dong Zhuo. Because that's a part. But they spent like 30 minutes fighting lightning bolts and waterfalls and mountains crashing and parting the Red Sea. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out where we're going here. I know where we're going. There's only one direction. We've all played the game. But I was literally just like, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
But you know what? It was, and unfortunately, I think, I don't know how they would do it. Because again, unless you're planning, because a lot of times with some of these films, they will do a film expecting multiple sequels, but doing it in a way that if they don't get, if the sequels don't get greenlit, then it's okay to stand on its own. So they stuff a lot into the first film. And I felt like that's what the exposition was when they met the lady in the forest and she just tells them all about the weapons and stuff. And I'm like,
told them.
Right. I'm like, that's dope. But it would have been better if you would have like, for me, if you just had those weapons, not the weapons be magical, but just the actors or the characters be magical. Mm. Because then you cut out a lot of that. Even if that's the case in the book, you cut out a lot of that stuff and you get more, you get back to the action.
And it's not that way in the book because the book is literally a romantic,
romanticized.
It's like, a romanticized legend of a true story.
Right.
So the book doesn't have them doing, I mean, it has them doing the most for how literature could be written. But it doesn't have them doing Musu mode. Musu mode didn't exist back then.
Right. Okay. You know, because like if you think about it, even like at the beginning of the film when they're fighting and like they're smacking like multiple soldiers and they're flying in the air, there was no explanation. You just kind of accepted it. Like, oh, he's so strong that he can smack 30 people and they fly away. Like you didn't need any explanation. It's just, okay, right. this is the world we're in. Okay, this is what we're doing. All right, cool.
Okay.
But then we get that large portion of them talking. And I'm like, dog, don't slip into Mortal Kombat. We don't need all this exposition. Just look, they are really good warriors. They do what they do. And that's it. We don't need, because you think about like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, outside of having the special sword, all of their fighting and walking on water was just them.
Yeah.
No explanation. It just happened. You know what I'm saying?
So we just had to agree with it. We're just like, okay, sure. This is cool. I'm down with it. I mean,
right.
We literally did not ask why they were able to do any of these things. And then all of a sudden they get these special weapons. And it's like, I get it. Well, no, I don't. I don't understand anything. But
right. They're even more special now. They're super special.
Then what's his face? His shirt falls off magically. And he cuts himself in the chest, and I said, but when did his shirt come off? Did I blink? I know that I'm slow. I know I'm suffering a little bit, but I clearly missed the part where his shirt came off. And out of all of them, I never thought Guan Yu would be the one to start stripping. There are many other characters in this game that would take off their clothes for pennies, and I just didn't think it was going to be Guan Yu.
Well, to be fair, in other depictions of him, he does come off, he eventually removes his top. I've seen, like, for instance, I play Smite, and it has a lot of different gods and characters from different pantheons. And so they have Guan Yu there, and, like, he does that as well. But not in the fashion that was in the film, like, not exactly like that. But, yeah, it was just, the over-the-top bits were good, and then some of it was like,
I needed more comedy.
I think so too. Or yeah, a little bit of like, I don't mind you playing it serious, and understanding like what you're getting into in terms of the theme or the overall tone of the film, because a lot of films do that. And I talked about that with Mortal Kombat, how they failed at it. But you can have your characters play a serious or like take everything seriously, but still have a fun time with the film.
Yeah.
And I think that they kind of hit or miss there, because there are certain parts where I'm like, oh, this is hilarious, when the guy keeps cutting the people's heads off and he's like smacking them. Mind you, they are miles away and he's like chopping people's heads off and like batting them back to them in their like secret cave area or whatever. Right. Until what Guan Yu fights. That was hilarious to me. I don't know.
Okay, no, it was, and I actually enjoyed that. I did, I enjoyed it. And then, you know what killed me is the part where Guan Yu's there, and he's like, man, I really wish that I could have seen it in person. Well, multiple things could have happened. You could have gone down there and watched the fight, okay?
Right.
Because what I don't understand is how this man rides on horseback to go and fight a fight. I don't get this. You guys ride on horseback. You're supposed to be a little bit discombobulated after you ride 17 miles on horseback down to a battlefield. Okay, you might need to sit for a while, but that's okay. So there's that. And then he defeats what's his face, and then all the soldiers scatter. This is one dude. Now, mind you, he did just beat your general, but they just scattered, and he was literally alone. Proving this, when he goes back and the dude's like, I really wish I could have seen it, You could have, though.
Right. Like, you really could have come down and chilled.
Everybody could have just come down and just sat there and just been like, this is cute. And then the guy wouldn't have had to flick the head so far. I mean, in all honesty, that's probably why he lost, because he was using his good throwing arm, kicking all those heads 4,000 miles into the air into a mountain fire.
Yeah, and that sword looked heavy, too. That was on some Final Fantasy-ish. Like,
totally. Some Sephiroth shit.
Right.
I don't know. I just think that these guys really needed to put their energy in other places. And clearly that could have worked out in their favor, but it didn't. I mean, they're like, I look at this movie as a 2-hour movie. They put so many of these storylines in. Like, they could have honestly just stuck to the game and just, and I mean, the game gives you enough backstory to keep playing. You're never right. really confused, especially as we've gotten, more recent iterations of the game. Like, if you played all the way back to Dynasty Warriors 2, I never played the first game, but I've played all of them back to 2. I think I stopped at 7. I never played 8 or 9. I think we're out to, like, 24 right now.
Nah, 9 is the last one.
Okay, 9. Well, it might as well be 18. But I back in number 2, you started off fighting Yellow Turbans. You're under Yuan Shao's army, and then you break off, and you're under Wei. Like, you don't get a choice until you unlock more characters. But you basically fight for Wei up until Dong Zhuo's defeated, and then you can unlock like Liu Bei or somebody else. You fight for Wei. You really do. You're Cao Cao's forces. I don't know if most people are like me, but I played the game under Wei so many times to defeat it before I started playing for Xu and Wu. And so that's where I kind of trained myself and got more, like, most of my information and learned more, because I beat the game using I actually forgot his name. Well, I can't remember a lot of things right now, and I can't pull from my memory banks, because it actually causes massive amounts of pain, which is why I took medicine prior to this cast. So again, if I get loopy, don't blame Kenny, just blame the drugs I took.
I tried to back out of the cast. She was like, nope, record.
No, we're doing this because I need some happiness and I need to exercise my communication skills. But okay, I can't remember the dude, but the guy who gets shot in the eye with the arrow, I used to play with him. He was my guy. And I remember the first time I ever beat that game, and I beat it with him. And the thing is, you play the game and you learn what's necessary to learn to play the game. And yeah, you might not have some information here, but it doesn't stop you from continuing on. And it's not so confusing that you don't understand. Like, yes, there's that one point, I think, in Dynasty Warriors 3 where you get to choose. Like, you're literally fighting for Wu. I mean, not Wu. You're fighting for Wei under Cao Cao's forces. And then all of a sudden, you get the opportunity. And it literally says Cao Cao's forces. And then it says somebody else's forces. I don't remember who it is. That's the first time you get to choose. And it's like, wait, what? And there's no story there. Like, you're like, wait, what happened? Why are they no longer fighting together type thing, right? So I personally think that they could have gone further in this movie and we all still would have accepted it, just like we accepted the opening scene with them fighting a bunch of Yellow Turbans and Zhang Lao or whatever, Zhang Jia, I forgot his name.
I can't pronounce it.
I just forgot. He's breakdancing up there, shooting wind out into people's bodies. And like, we accepted that. Everybody was just like, yeah, he's the crazy guy who in the first game or second game and third game and fourth game, where they didn't let us have the Japanese voiceover, sounds like a raving lunatic. Some white dude is playing him. And you're like, please get us the voiceover. And he calls everybody flaming idiots. Like, I still am personally scarred by those audios from the first few iterations of the game. And they need to fix that. Kind of like they went back into Dragon Ball Z and fixed that.
Moving God, on. I don't... that. Oh, my goodness.
No, Dragon Ball, no.
But yeah, I agree. The because you don't need it. And yeah. It's not like they give you the full story anyways. Because like I said, we start with the Yellow Turban and there's like that. So like, and this is something that I did like. On the left side of the screen, they had like, you know, just written stuff of like, this was a conflict. And then years later, here's another conflict. That's essentially how it was in the game. Yes. But then also they did things where like, you know, they were explaining the weapons, like the more what people you kill, the stronger the weapons get. And, you know, all these other things that were like video game related where I'm like, aha, I see what you're doing. You don't really need this, but I totally see what you're doing. Right. I actually liked some of that stuff. And again, yeah, it doesn't need, unless you're doing a series of films or a series, just a show.
Going to be a series.
I did too, because I'm like, that's way too much information to put in one film.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're going to do a series, okay, cool. We can go over, you know, all the different characters, where they came from, their motivations and everything. Or you could do like you did in part way through the film where you're like, you know, Lou Blue is he's a murderer who betrayed his, you know, whoever, and now he's a part of the bad guys group. That's it. Right. That's all you need to know. Super powerful, strong guy. Boom. Because these type of films aren't... on one hand, they kind of want you to already know a lot of it going in because they're made for an audience. And then for the people who are like, I just want to see some cool action or, you know, some fighting, that's where you get the other stuff. You know, like there's only a few Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragons where you get all of it in one film.
Right. There's,
you know, a lot of times it's just going to be a lot of action. So it would have worked in either case, but they tried to do a little bit of both and it didn't work out, unfortunately. No. And like I said, it's still not as bad. I think it's better than Mortal Kombat. And I know I'm going to get, I already tweeted this since we're, you know, I'm going to break the fourth wall a little bit. I already tweeted that it's better than Mortal Kombat. And I said, essentially, it's based on your expectations and the goal. Did the film, the on-screen efforts actually gel with the overall goal of the film? And for the most part, I think it did. It apes the video game in a good way. And in terms of like, using video game elements, but in a way that still works on film. And it doesn't do some of the horrible things that Mortal Kombat does in terms of the audience, misplacing the audience, bad like acting outside of you know, that the main antagonist. And, you know, in terms of like locations, it's better. In terms of the action, even in certain spots. I know it's not as gory as Mortal Kombat, but if Mortal Kombat was only about the gore, it wouldn't have succeeded as far as it did. It wouldn't have. We liked really cool characters. We liked Sub-Zero and Scorpion. If it was just about ripping someone's heart out of their chest, no. Indiana Jones did that years ago. It's not just that. There's extra stuff.
Speaking of Indiana Jones, I was watching this movie, I was like, so am I watching Indiana Jones right now? There was just some similarities and yeah, also to Clash of the Titans, but that's okay. We can move on.
So yeah, but yeah, I just kind of wanted to say like it's what the goal was, seemingly from what we saw. I think they nailed it. And again, it's not perfect. I wouldn't rate this as a like a good, great, whatever. But as far as a wushu film on Netflix, you could do a lot worse. And as far as a video game movie, you can do a lot worse. You really can. Shout out to all the Resident Evils, Monster Hunter, the recent Mortal Kombat. You can do a lot worse. All right. Actually, no, Resident Evil 1 was good.
just like the regular Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, it was good. After that, I don't know what happened. The second one was they're going to be redoing it, and they have, so there's actually a bunch of Resident Evil stuff. There's a new series, animated series on Netflix that I'm going to be checking out, and we're probably going to talk about here. There's also going to be there's a series coming out with all live action characters, and there's another film coming out. I think they're going to reboot the film series, which I'm all, like, for the most part, I'm interested in because the person who directed the other ones isn't involved at all. So it has a chance to redeem itself. has a chance to redeem itself. And I kind of want to, I'm interested in what angle they're going to take. Because the series that has the live action, it takes place, I want to say, before Raccoon City falls and like after, like in the apocalypse. And it goes back and forth. I kind of want to see how they do that. But that is it for our show. Again, we wanted to keep it a little short because, you know, Tess isn't 100% yet. But we will be talking about all sorts of stuff once we get back to regularly recording, including all the new movies, because Netflix has a movie every freaking week this year. So we're going to talk about the different movies and shows. I want to check out the stuff that's coming to HBO still. There's a bunch of stuff. And so we're going to be talking about it. There's also some video game stuff that we're going to make mention of when we have our full, you know, hour and some change. You know, like normal. Outside of that, though, go ahead.
No, I just want to leave people with this. I just found this out while tonight, only moments before we were communicating via text earlier. And why are there 12 Kenshin movies? Like, there's 18 of them. I thought that there was one. And I just saw that they released on Netflix the final Kenshin movie. And I was like, wait, what? The final? You don't say final if you've only had one other one. And apparently there's like 102 and I missed all of them.
Yeah. I think it went back to 2011 when the first one came out.
Something like that. And I mean, I remember watching that movie, but I don't know anything about these. Like, and I it's not like I have to watch it like I watched the show, but there's all these movies and now Netflix has the final on there. And I feel a little hurt because nobody told me about these and I have to pay for them if I want to see them. They're not just on Netflix and I just feel personally attacked.
Well, I thought it was going to be another Death Note. So that's why I didn't watch or say anything, because I'm like, I didn't like Death Note, the live action version. So, and then also,
well, white,
like,
people in it.
Well, you had to know that was gonna happen. But yeah, it's interesting. I think there's 5 films total, with the final one hitting, you know, just recently. And yeah, I didn't know it was that many either. I thought it was 2. I thought it was the first one and then the final, but apparently not. And then with animated films, if they get like, you know, a resurgence of like popularity, you know, they're going to get new films. It just usually doesn't hit live action. It's usually more animated films, not right. In this sense. So
how do you have 5 live actions? There's 5 of them. That's like unheard of for a anime adaption. Like Nana only got 3 movies. And Nana's not, it's not finished, mind you. They never finished the anime because the author of Nana got sick. But like it got 3 movies. This has 5.
Apparently they did well enough. Like, people like some Rony Kenshin, I guess. I couldn't tell you. I'm surprised. I didn't think that was a thing. But apparently it's interesting enough, it's being distributed by Warner Brothers, so
yeah,
it should make its way to HBO. At least the other one should make its way to HBO. I don't know. Maybe Netflix was, you know, Netflix is snagging up a lot of anime. Actually, they're also snatching up a lot of video game related content. We've already talked about the Resident Evil. A lot of that stuff is going to Netflix. They have the Dragon Quest anime, the Castlevania anime. Mm-hmm. You know, this movie, there's a bunch of stuff in the works of video game related content coming to Netflix. They've been doing an interesting job of that. And I'm not upset at it, because I think that Netflix allows people to do creative stuff in a way that doesn't cost me a lot of money or a lot of time. Like, I can watch a streamed whatever and be like, it was okay. Versus waiting for, you know, a movie to go to the theater, and go to the theater, you buy all, you know, your popcorn and everything, and then it sucks, and you're like, ah, dang it. If I watch it on Netflix, I'm like, ah, whatever, I'll just watch something else. I'll go watch, you know, another episode of whatever I was watching before. Yeah. But in doing that, we got cool stuff like Castlevania. So I think that's cool. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, but, we can't be mad we asked for it when we were growing. Like, when we were younger, we asked for this in our early 20s. We asked for this in our teen years.
And no, we asked for good stuff. We didn't ask for this shit. Nope.
We didn't ask for this shit. We yeah. Listen to him. He's right. I'm not speaking correctly.
Like that Dragon Ball Z film, live action was trash.
We don't speak of that. That is the movie that shall not be named.
Oh, okay. Shall not be named. All right. I'm just put that right with the Matrix sequels, just right over here. Never should have
happened.
Although I am looking forward to the Matrix 4. I do want to see how they pull that off.
Are all the people still alive?
No. The woman who played the Oracle, I believe, passed away.
Wait, the second Oracle died too?
Okay, I didn't know so I was speaking of the first one. I don't know if the second one died as well, but I know a few people have passed, but they were, you know, secondary roles outside of the Oracle. I don't believe there was anybody major passed away. But I know, you know, Keanu Reeves and what's her name? I actually fell out of my brain. A lot of the main cast supposedly is coming back for the fourth one.
Wait, so, they're bringing back Trinity?
Yes. I believe she's coming back. You don't know how that works, but apparently it's a sequel, not a prequel. So I'm curious. I'm really curious because I always felt like the Matrix, and I'm, you know, we're going to end it here because we could talk on, you know, for days. But the Matrix world, there's a lot of cool stuff that you can just do with it.
Yeah.
And so I always wanted to see more of it. Just, you know, a different, you know, at a different place, not exactly where they left off. So I'm interested. But yeah.
Okay.
Check us out on the internets. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're not listening on YouTube and you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, feel free to add us to your RSS feed so you get all the new content as soon as it drops. We record typically every Thursday, and so you should get the episode on the Friday, unless something happens, like life happens and we just can't do it for whatever reason. But we typically record then, so you know definitely want to check in each week for basically two black nerds talking about nerd stuff. Which is cool because you need that type of stuff. It's an outlet for this to, you know, especially with granted, things are opening up a little bit, and that reminds me. I need to talk to you guys. We will on the next episode about going to the movies and etiquette when you're in the movie theater now that we're back, because some of you mofos should have just stayed home. That's all I'm going to say. We will get to that next episode. But anywho, that's it for me.
All right, y'all. That's really it for me too. I don't have the brain power. What do I always say? Don't be a dick.
Correct.
And something about washing your butts. And I hope you continue to do that. Clearly, wash your hands. And I honestly think that's it. And then typically now I say goodbye to everybody. Right?
Yep. That's correct.
Okay. Well, deuces, y'all. Have a great night. Bye.